Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
And happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Well, I blame it on the sunshine.
Yeah, that's what it is. Sunshine.
Sunshine. Anyways, I want to kind of get right into the show today, despite the fact that we actually have some sunshine here, which is kind of unusual. Welcome to Oregon Update.
I'm still in the fog.
You are still in the fog.
Yeah. Well, me and the entire town.
The entire town of Cottage Grove, Oregon. But anyways, we got a really important show today, which during the research for the show, I just all I kept saying is every time I looked at the information on it, it was just like, oh, my God. I'm just in awe about what they're doing, these horses and everything. But and it's just a lot of things I wasn't aware of, and it's just, I don't know, it's just totally amazing. I'm almost without words, per se, because I'm just so much in shock.
That's all right. I have a lot of words.
Well, yeah, I know that.
about the subject, even.
About the subject. Yeah. But anyways, our guest today is Joel. Somebody's cell phone is going off here. And Joe Dibiel of Angel Anchors Horse Haven Rescue. And I'm going to get, I have an audio, and we'll get right to Joe.
At least 100,000 horses each year are taken from the United States to be slaughtered, but a local campaign is hoping to change that. Andrew Fajee explains how One Horse Rescue, it is taking their message to the streets.
Drivers on Leeds Avenue in Baltimore County may have seen this Stop the Slaughter billboard. It's a grassroots effort to stop horse rescues that end up slaughtering them.
We believe that the American public does not know that horse slaughter is a very brutal and inhumane practice.
Joe Dibiel runs the Angel Acres Horse Rescue in Glenville, Pennsylvania, and through donations put the billboard up.
They are slaughtering them for human consumption. They're shipped out of the United States to Mexico and Canada to be exported to other countries that eat horse meat.
Horse advocates say they're slaughtered because euthanizing them instead would taint the meat. Angel Acres has saved more than 300 former racehorses from certain death. Dibiel says she doesn't know of any Maryland rescues that slaughter, but there are others that do.
There are groups around the country that are trying to promote horse slaughter as a humane euthanasia. It's not.
She says many of these horses have already lived through trauma and should be able to die with dignity, and hopes these billboards will help. Andrea Fujii, WJZ Eyewitness News.
So anyways, we have Joe with us today, and I'll go ahead and open our mic, and as I requested to open the mic, there you go. Joe, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me today.
And what state are you in, Joe?
We are in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, okay.
Okay. Let me give out the phone numbers real quick. If you have a question for Joe or anything on this topic, 646-721-9887. We also have the chat room open if you have a question there or would like to comment. And during the show, because as a guest, if you're logged in as a guest, you can't comment, unfortunately, but you can send us a email, talk@krbnradio.com, and we'll read the email over the air and ask Joe your question.
We just got every passage covered.
That's right.
Or something.
So anyways, Joe, it says here that You're an active member of the American Humane Society, and you gave up. You actually gave up your restaurant business to start rescuing horses.
Yes, I worked in the restaurant and bar business for quite a long time, about 14 years, and found out that they were slaughtering horses to be consumed by people in foreign countries, and decided that I needed to do something besides sit around my computer and cry and look at awful pictures. So we decided to found Angel Acres Horse Haven Rescue, and that was done late 2003. We became an official nonprofit January 14th of 2004.
Wow.
So if people do decide to donate to you, they can take it off the taxes?
Oh, yes. We're a 501c3. We've been a 501 since January 14, 2004, and all donations to us are tax-deductible, including horses.
Ah.
And
but how do they decide how much the horse is worth? You're selling them for a dollar. How do they decide when they give them to you to how much they can take off the taxes?
Well, it depends. I'm not a government or, you know, IRS-type person or anything, but how they do that, I guess, is they have their horses appraised. If they have a certain amount that they'd like to get for the horse, it's totally up to them. They donate to us, and we give them basically a letter that says, thank you so much for your donation of the horse, and they go from there. But some of our horses run a dollar, and some have regular adoption fees depending on the horse and the situation and that sort of stuff. So the fees vary. They're not all a dollar. Some are higher. Some.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I saw that.
So you're doing the trying to make it affordable so people can just take the horses. You're not trying to make a profit off it, so to speak.
No, we're not all volunteer. I mean, we're all volunteers. Nobody gets paid. And the way it works is if, like, I get asked a lot, so, you know, why do your horses have adoption fees? And we have to have adoption fees so that we have a sound rescue, so that we have, you know, donations, fundraising, grant writing, adoption fees. It all goes towards feeding the horses, of course, pulling them from kill pens, straw, vet. The normal routine care that we provide the horses has to be paid for because it's not donated to us.
Right.
Yeah, we have to be affordable or we won't be a rescue for long. You know, we have to make it work.
Absolutely. I was reading on your website a story about how you got started and regarding an Amish workhorse. Was that was the decision that you had to do something, from what I understand?
Well, the reason I started is because I found out that they were slaughtering by accident. I decided to adopt. Actually, I adopted the first horse I had as an adult, and her name is Maddie.
Uh-huh.
She's actually one of the first crop of secretary granddaughters, and I adopted it from another amazing rescue that we work with out in Pennsylvania, and found out by accident as I was leaving that basically they were slaughtering horses. She was like, you know, I'm glad you saved her. I'm like, saved her from what? And that's when I found out that they were actually shipping these horses out of the country, and at that time they were still slaughtering here in the United States. And I found out that they were slaughtering, and I adopted two more horses pretty quickly and figured out that I was going to be hoarder girl if I didn't do something. I couldn't just keep taking horses in. I would have to do something. And it took us about 6 months to figure out, you know, we should do A, B, and C, which was, you know, found the nonprofit, figure out our outlets, how we're going to go about doing it, and then start rescuing them, and then, retraining and adopting them out in the homes. And that's how we started.
Actually, it seems to be in our country, if you don't do something like that, then you're just considered weird for having all these horses hanging around. So.
Right, yeah. You don't want to be the rescue that they have to be rescued from. That is not our goal. You have to have a way to get them and get them out.
how many horses do you actually have on the ranch, or what do you call it? Is that a ranch?
Well, right now, we're farms out here in PA. So,
okay.
You know, farms
Sorry,
or farmettes. And we have, between two spots, we have 26 horses usually at any time, and they're in different areas of, like, our quarantine farm is about 3 hours from us. It's a farm that we have access to, so we quarantine in a different, totally, it's in a different state. It's in Maryland. And then we have the training facility that we use, and then we have the main farm, and everybody's either in a state of quarantine, recovery, rehabilitation, or retraining, and then they're available for adoption.
So what is quarantine for? Are they ill, or are they just being evaluated?
Well, the quarantine farm, like when they come to the sale in Pennsylvania or the sales in Maryland or actually any, I guess, livestock auction, there's a risk of illness. And we can't bring horses in that may or may not have an illness that we don't know about. So what they do is they go in, if we get two, three, four, however many horses at one time, they go over to the quarantine farm and they stay there for a minimum of 60 days. Once their quarantine is up, sometime during that time we'll have a vet go out, check them out, make sure everything's all right, and then they bring them, would they come into the main rescue to be handled by me. And then we go from there. But the quarantine is simply to make sure there isn't something, you know, like strangles or EHV1 or one of the horse diseases that can make everybody on the property sick.
Now, you mentioned the fact that the weather there is less than desirable. isn't that kind of hard to get back and forth into your quarantine?
We don't go to the quarantine farm.
Oh.
We have a shipper that takes the horses to the quarantine farm once their coggins and paperwork is in order. And then when they're at the quarantine farm, we have foster parents out there that take care of the horses for us, stay in touch with us weekly, let us know what's going on with the horses, and then we send our hauler back out to pick them back up and bring them here. There's no way I could drive 3 hours, you know, to take care of them. We have someone else doing it.
I was wondering about that because that's, you know, you'd be spending your entire life out there just watching them.
I'd be super rescuer at that point.
Yeah. Really? Well, it sounds like you're becoming that anyway, but that would be almost impossible.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
Yeah.
So once you get them, I would suppose that at first, at least, a lot of your money is going towards medicine or doctor's fees.
Well, the most of it goes towards purchasing from a kill buyer or from auction. That's the largest price. And then you go to transport, coggins, routine testing, and quarantine, because you have to pay for the quarantine farm. And then they're transported back in. Then you have the vets come out and they do their, you know, vaccinations and health check, and then you have foot care and all that sort of stuff. So I think the most expensive part is probably just getting them to the rescue. The majority of horses that we get are healthy, sound, young thoroughbreds that just aren't fast enough at the track anymore. Those are the majority of horses we get. We do get quarter horses and the occasional pony and Morgan, standardbred and stuff like that, but the majority are thoroughbreds that we rescue.
As many horses as you get, do you have a discount from your vets?
Oh, yes. Yes, they work with us.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I can just see that this has got to be kind of an expensive job, especially since now you don't have any kind of a job to help pay for it, as far as that part is concerned. Do you get any government loans or any foundation loans?
Oh, my goodness,
grants, not loans.
No, we don't get any government grants. There's none out there. You figure, you know, horse slaughter was originally condoned by the whoever checks the meat, you know, horse meat, because they used to have slaughter here. So, you know,
of course, we don't have any money in the government anyway.
right. We don't get any grants. What we get is we apply for grants for different horse welfare foundations, and then we have donations. We have a couple of fundraisers a year, and then we have adoption fees. But the rescue is self-sustaining. But, yeah, it's pretty expensive, but we're able to, you know, we get hay donated. We've been very lucky. Our farrier is outstanding and gives us a great deal. So, I mean, we really work with people to try and keep our costs down because we don't have – like, I'm a one mean baker. Like, I can bake pumpkin pies and pumpkin loaf, and I'm like, here's for my straw guy. You know, gives me a great deal. We'll bake pies, you know. I'm forever forcing pumpkin loaves down people's throats, you know, and they keep coming out to help us. So
how could people help?
Well, they can, you know, sometimes people send us horse blankets, which we always need, like in weather like this. They can donate hay. They can make monetary donations. They could come out and muck stalls, groom horses. There's different ways that people can help. We actually have been very lucky and have a graphic design team that found us because they wanted to come out and muck stalls. And I'm like, you know, I've got stall stuff. You know, what do you guys do? And they told us what they did. We're like, well, we'd love you if you could, you know, design an ad for us. And they've been with us for 2 years now. So it's just different. Maybe what they do in their work life might be able to benefit the rescue somehow. And if not our rescue, maybe a local rescue around where they live.
Uh-huh. Well, I noticed that you have a billboard campaign.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the billboard campaign, thank you for asking, it depends on the size. They're usually 25 feet, but the newest one's gone up are 48 feet, and they're going to be in large metropolitan areas, not so much horse country, but just regular areas that people would frequent. Like out in our area, it's I-95 or I-83 or you know, I-70. And what these billboards say, and you can see a picture of them on our website and the StopSlaughteringUs.com website, is a billboard with two horses nuzzling, and it just says, "Stop slaughtering us." And what that goal of this campaign is to raise awareness within the general public that horses that, you know, a lot of people believe that horses are going to be, when they're retired, just as an example, from a racetrack or from a farm or whatever, that they're retired to greener pastures. A lot of people don't understand that healthy, sound young horses are being slaughtered every day to the tune of about 100,000 a year being exported out of the U.S. to Mexico and Canada to feed foreign diners. And we strongly believe that if the general population of the United States is made aware of this, then it will finally stop, and enough people will speak up and be angry enough to say, "What are you doing?" and finally pass these laws that have been languishing in bills and, you know, as bills in different committees for, I guess, 8 years now. That's the goal of the billboard campaign.
I see your billboard on your website. Are the two horses in love?
I don't know. I guess looking over the fence. I don't know. They're snuggling.
Snuggling. I mean, they must be. They're lovey-dovey horses.
And we try to be, and some days we all get frustrated. I mean, rescue is a very, you know, a lot of us are subject to compassion fatigue, which is, you know, we just try and try and try, and you get exhausted from doing it. So our rescue is really trying to be all about being positive. So we could have taken a graphic photo and put it up there, and we're like, well, first of all, nobody's going to approve the artwork. And second of all, I don't want to cause any accidents going down the road.
Well, I think this is much better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what everybody does. Everybody just goes for the jugular throat and jugular vein, because, and we don't need to do that. We need, just like they're talking about in politics now, we need a kinder, gentler country.
Right.
And
yeah.
That's the thing. That's part of it.
Well, yeah. The billboard does kind of bring a tear to your eye when you look.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love it. That's great.
Thank
absolutely.
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, go ahead, Cliff.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, how do you decide who to take horses from?
What do you mean, who to take horses from?
Well, I mean, for example, from what I understand, almost all racetracks keep the horses X amount of time and then send them out to be slaughtered. Do you go talk to them? Do you? Because it seems like you could, by going to the horse's mouth.
I guess you just can't rescue all of them, I guess, is what Cliff is.
Okay.
Well, but what I'm saying is you could get them cheaper, perhaps, by getting them directly from the owners.
Correct. Okay. There's something called zero tolerance policy at some of these tracks. And the zero tolerance policy, unfortunately, is not working. So the horses either end up going to auction via, I don't even pretend to know how it happens. I don't know. But they go around it somehow and they end up at the auction, or they end up direct to kill. They never get the chance to go to the auction. So, or they may or may not be purchased. So we get calls from people that, you know, have horse A, B, and C, and they'd like to make sure the horse gets safe. What can we do? That's a lot of it. Other times we'll send one of our directors to the sale who will go and purchase, you know, if we know it's the kill buyer bidding, we'll bid against them. And if it's not, then we'll politely ask, you know, we'll go in and look at the horses and see who we can save and ask, you know, the dealer, kill buyer, whatever you want to call them, and say, hey, you just bought horse number 123. We'd like to buy horse number 123. What would you like for that horse? And they'll usually raise it up $50 or $100. And from there, we say thank you very much, and then we take the horse and go. That's pretty much how it works. And how we decide who that is the first thing is, if I'm there, they have to, A, not want to kill me while they're in the kill pen. And second, they have to be relatively sound so that we can adopt them out and get them in the new homes. So that's how we choose. It's very difficult to choose.
That's kind of what I was thinking of, is if you could make arrangements, because there's a lot of, I don't know how many horse racing tracks there are, and horse owners. I would think these horse owners would have enough respect for horses to want to put them out in a different manner rather than just having them slaughtered. I mean, don't they care about the horses at all?
You know, I don't know. There are some good owners and some, and like in everything, some bad owners, you know. We know some excellent breeders and owners that really strive to make sure their horses are in good homes when they retire. And there are others that, you know what, they're just a dollar sign and a commodity, and it's costing them money to be standing there, and they're not winning. So whoever takes them out of there the quickest, that's where they're going.
Well, that's what I was thinking. They would want them out of there quick, and so they would give them to you for cheap or nothing.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. They have to get – see, that's the other thing, too. A lot of people with the slaughter issue, and not just track people, but a lot of people have the mentality that, okay, you know, I've got to get rid of this horse. it's not anything for me. I'm going to get my last couple hundred bucks out of it. But get their last couple hundred bucks instead of euthanizing the horse humanely. They're putting this horse through a brutal process that it doesn't deserve. So it depends. You know, it runs a gamut from the littlest donor to the biggest donor. It just depends on their mindset, what they believe is right for their horse. So, you know.
Do you want to touch on that a little bit more on what happens to the horse?
Well, you probably know as you're doing research, it's not pretty. So when they when a horse is going to be sent to kill, it goes to what's called, you know, either a feedlot out west or a holding pen here or a kill pen, whatever you want to call it. And then they are usually rounded up and shipped. It depends on which location they're going to, but they can be shipped up to 30 hours without food or rest. Humane law says they need to be rested. There's video after video after video showing, no, they're driving straight through. And they will ship stallions with mares, pregnant mares, old horses, young horses, ponies, foals, doesn't matter. They're all crammed in together, and that just leads for injury and accidents. And horses do get trampled on the trucks. And then once they arrive at the kill plant, wherever that happens to be, they're offloaded, and they usually either, you know, open the gates. I'm guessing. Now, I've never been there, so but I've seen the videos where they slap them, they hit them with the electric prods, they kick them, whatever they need to do to get them out of the trucks and onto the plant property. And once they're on the plant property, they're herded through, I guess you'd call it some sort of maze where they've got posts or poles, you know, that guide them. It's like a maze, like when you go to a ride at an amusement park, you got to follow the thing. That's sort of what they go through. And then they end up with what's called a knock box. And then and when they're in a knock box, they're hit with either a mechanical hammer or a captive bolt, or they're shot in the head. The problem with that is it's supposed to be one shot or one hit, and they're supposed to be rendered unconscious. And I don't know the statistics off the top of my head. There's a couple websites out there that have it, but there's a large number that are not unconscious when they're hit. And then when they fall down, they're picked up by one leg, and their throat is slit, and they're basically slaughtered that way. And I've actually seen video where they had one mare who was able to kick while she was hanging upside down by one leg, kick the person who was slaughtering her. And I'm like, you know, this is insane that this is even happening. But that's the process. And from there, of course, the meat shipped out to different countries. And I don't know why people want to eat the meat anyway. It's full of chemicals and dewormers and stuff that causes aplastic anemia and humans and stuff. It's just crazy. But that's horse slaughter in a nutshell.
Wow.
I went on the websites and looked at that, and supposedly they keep trying to say that it's all very humane. But even if the philosophy isn't bad, I just wonder how many people in these kill centers actually carry out the actual philosophy, or just do it an easier way.
Yeah,
well, I would assume that since it's like a production line, that they really don't care. It's like you say, send it through the chute, give them a whack of it. Hopefully, it takes care of it right then. If not, then too bad.
Right.
I want to pick up a little bit on what you were saying, because it is true that in other countries, a lot of countries, people eat horses. And the thing is, you were bringing up the fact that they're full of all kinds of chemicals and things. I didn't know that. Do they know that?
Well, we don't know if they know that, to be honest with you. Yeah, I mean, we don't know. What I have heard through the grapevine and through different resources and different things that I've read, is that some countries tend to make their, I guess, citizens believe that the horse meat from America is clean. I that's what I've heard. I can't tell you because I'm not in those foreign countries, but, you know, phenobutazone, which we call bute, is banned by the FDA in the United States. You can't give an animal bute and then slaughter it for human consumption. If it's ever had it in its life, the only exception is cows up to 20 months old. Those guys can have bute, and then they can be used for dairy or whatever it is that they're used for. But I don't know, and I'm serious, I don't know any horse in the United States that's never had bute. So, and bute in humans causes aplastic anemia, a fatal disease. So there's no
great. We can have it in our cows, but we can't have it in horses.
I don't know what the reason is. I think it has something to do with the udders. I don't know. But that's what I've read, and a friend of mine did a paper on it in a peer-reviewed journal about the effects of bute and what it does to humans and the horse meat in Europe and all that sort of stuff. So she did a big paper about it. So it was published, but do they know? I don't know if they know what they're eating. I wouldn't want to eat it. I mean, all the chemicals and stuff that we put on horses and in horses to keep them healthy, every bottle I have, if I'm putting it on, I'm putting it on with a glove, you know, because it says known to cause cancer in lab rats in California. For horses, yeah, intended for human consumption. I'm like, well, can somebody got a glove? You know, I'm not going to do that. And these guys
really?
Are eating that. Yeah, I'm not. It's really? Crazy, you know.
And it's not a small thing. There are about 65,000 horses slaughtered in the United States and shipped to Europe and Japan and Quebec, Canada even. So it's a big business.
Yeah, it's a multi, I guess it would have to be multi-billion dollar when you add everybody that's involved into it. So,
yeah.
And I have a friend and she always says, you know, a horse, once it's dead, stops contributing to the American economy, but a horse that's alive contributes because you've got to, you know, pay the feed man, you've got to pay the hay man, you're paying straw, you're paying somebody to train the horse, you're paying for the fuel to get to the horse. So, you know, we just don't understand, again, why they're even allowing this, because a live horse contributes more to society than a dead horse.
Absolutely. We're talking with Joe Dyville of Angel Anchors Horse Haven Rescue. You can call her right now at 646-721-9887 if you have a question for her. We do have some people in the chat room, one person listening live at the moment. Again, you can also send us an email, too, if you have a question that you'd like to for Joe.
We did talk to Joe for a couple minutes before we went on the air, and she's willing to answer any question you got. Nothing is basically off the table, but don't beat her up.
Yeah, that's our job.
Help with that area.
You know, one of the things I looked and looked and looked on your website, you're offering to adopt horses in some instances for a very low price, mm-hmm. But you don't put anything on there about how much it costs to take care of a horse. It's not cheap.
No, it's not. And that really varies. I have a blog, like it was done back in February, the real cost to rescue a horse. I don't know what the numbers are, but I sat down and actually added it up just to get the horse from kill pen to ready for adoption, and it was a lot. I don't remember what the exact totals were off the top of my head, but it's a lot. But you've got, yeah, I mean, each horse, you've got to feed him hay, feet, routine shots and testing and all that sort of stuff. So it's not cheap, but with the horse is in our dollar program, that means there's some other crisis that's coming down the pike, like I got a call because three horses need help or something. So what we do is we take one of the best horses that we have when it's already in training and ready to go, and we'll take whatever adoption fee that was and reduce it down to a zero or a dollar, you know, for a legal transaction, a dollar to get that horse adopted as quickly as possible. So that's part. That's how the dollar program works.
Another thing I've noticed here that it's not easy to take care of a horse. It says that for their size, horses have delicate digestive systems, just people. They recommend that you feed them almost continuously, you know, every few hours refeed them. And if you're going to feed them on our, for some reason, human way of going, three meals a day, that's not really that great. They can do it, but you have to be real careful about how much food and what kind of food. You have to worry about the age of the horse, the breed of the horse, the weather, mm-hmm. quality of feed, quality of shelter, what kind of condition their teeth are in, can they eat what you want to feed them. And there's lots of things to consider. Do you have a paper that you published to to help people with this?
Have I? No. No, I haven't published anything like that.
I'm just getting a headache listening to you tell me.
Well, and also, Joe, on your website, you point out, as you were talking about this one Amish workhorse that you got that was starving and died the next day.
Oh, yeah, Lancaster Special. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. That. I mean, the tendency would be to want to just feed them a lot right there because they're starving, but I guess that could be really bad for the horse.
Yes, that's a situation. With starving horses, there's something called refeeding syndrome. And if you feed them too quickly, it can kill them. So you have to feed them very slowly, small amounts of hay and water over several days, and you keep increasing the feed slowly so that they don't colic. And colic is just a bellyache. You know, uh-huh. Babies get colicky. It's sort of the same thing. It's just a bellyache. And unfortunately, that bellyache, depending on how they react to it, can be deadly. They get pains in their belly, they'll bite, and they get sweaty, and they lay down and roll, and the problem occurs when they roll, and they can twist their gut, and that's that's really bad. That's really, really awful. So you want to do everything you can to make sure that they're, you know, eating. And he had mentioned earlier that, you know, you're supposed to feed them consistently. They graze about 20 hours a day is what they're supposed to be doing. So, but because we have them and they're now domesticated, you know, we feed them a larger grain-type breakfast in the morning, and then they graze all day, and then we feed them a larger grain-type dinner and free-fed hay all day. So they are eating most of the time. But, yeah, feeding is one of the most important things beyond the hoof on a horse.
And then to not just, because our tendency would be, you know, like I say, you're starving, give you as much food as you can belly.
Yeah,
with,
but, yeah, that'll
kill
them.
You can't even do that with people.
Right, I was just going to say, you can't even do that. People, I watched something about starvation. People have been in prisoners of war and stuff, and it's the same thing, that you couldn't feed them, even though they were starving because of the, I don't know what is electrolytes, or I don't want to say I know, but something that goes wrong in the body will kill them.
Absolutely.
Well, I've taken in foster kids before, and there's been one time when we took a foster kid who was very hungry and took him out to eat, and all he did was start back up again. I mean, you can't process that fast. You've got to take it in little bits at a time at first.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just out of curiosity, now I know of two people right here in Cottage Grove, Little River City, or whatever, who have had horses, and can't take care of them anymore. Do you ever get involved in that? I mean, there's really nothing wrong with this horse, but at a $100 a week to feed a horse, they couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know in one case, a very sad situation, they just turned the horse loose.
Just turned him loose?
Yeah, that's
great.
Terrible.
Yeah,
I mean,
that is terrible. Yeah, we offer assistance like that. We have something called Maddie's Legacy Fund, which we use to help horse owners in need. And, you know, everybody had the homeowner bailout or all that kind of stuff. There was no horse owner bailout. So we started Maddie's Legacy Fund to help horse owners in need who may need help with a vet or feed or hay. And we usually, I think we're averaging assisting 10 to 12 horses each month, every month consistently. And we're able to do that by our readers and followers donating to the fund to help us disperse it to people in need. So, and if somebody calls us, we offer, besides Maddie's Legacy Fund, we will remote place the horse, which means we will put the horse on our website, put it on our Facebook page, and say, hey, is anybody in this area? And then we don't just say, here you go. We then screen the person, make sure it's trying to our best to make sure it's a good match for the horse that we're trying to assist. Or if we have room and they're close enough and they can get the horse to us, we'll take the horse into either the main rescue or the foster home. Or we'll also set up foster homes. We have different foster homes in different states that will hold horses for us until we can remote place them too. So we try and help as much as we possibly can, but knowing we can't do it all, you know.
Well, the people that are letting loose, so to speak, have to know about you too. I mean, That's what I think is so great about how you're getting the information out, and you're working so hard at getting the information out to let everybody know about your facility.
Thanks. I'm trying. It's a fine balance. Well, so you don't want to irritate people like, there she is again. You know, you don't want to, you know, irritate people, but you want people to know about us at the same time. So
I don't know. Maybe irritating them is good.
On the same subject, I wanted to give congratulations for you because you just hit the 40,000 member mark.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I'm just tickled about that. I think we're like 40,200 members now for our Stop Horse Slaughter in the USA cause, which is awesome. We're real tickled. Thank you.
Okay, well, to become a member, what do you get? What do you do? How do you do it? Well, yeah, but let's face it. If you're going to become a member of something, there's got to be some sort of reward. I mean, whether it's just a reward of knowing that you're doing something good, or whether it's a reward of something else. What do you get when you become a member?
Well, if you sign up for our Stop Horse Slaughter in the USA cause, which is a cause through Facebook, it says join now, and you join. And what we do is we update stories that we feel are important to the cause, which of course the cause is stopping horse slaughter. We have information up there about Maddie's Legacy Fund. People can interact with us and they can post photos. Our readers will post photos, post stories, make comments, help get the word out about what we're doing. Just basically it's you know, all online. Everything's interactive, and people can help us raise funds for Maddie's Fund. They can help spread awareness about our cause. They can sign up and then send that out to however many people they want to. And if we have a crisis where we had a horse that we needed to place, pretty quickly we were able to post that word out there. It went out to like 20,000 people to help get a horse placed. So it's a very good thing if people can sign up, and all they have to do is click. They don't really have to do anything until we send them a, you know, an announcement, or they can go onto the cause and read the latest update. Like the one I had was about a senator who was trying to propose a horse slaughter plant in Nebraska. I wrote a story for the Examiner, put that up there, and people were checking out, sending on others, so letting people know what's happening in the horse world in relation to slaughter.
Yeah, and I wanted to touch on the senator, because I was reading the article. This is, as I'm going through all my things here, Nebraska Senator Tyson Larson.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he wants to make it a class 4 misdemeanor if you do not accept a horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So this is a sore subject for me, so I'll be very, very nice. And Senator Larson believes, according to the stories I read, that he wants to pass the bill in Nebraska to allow a horse slaughter plant to be built and then have the people, I would guess, that have horses that they can no longer care for, call the rescues that are in Nebraska and say, hey, you need to take my horse. And if for whatever reason the rescue can't take the horse, he then wants to have them be charged with, like you had said, a class 4 misdemeanor crime. And I was sort of like, Senator Larson, I emailed him, I called him, I posted on his Facebook page, no response to me. I want to know, where's the responsibility for the breeders, and where's the responsibility for the horse owners? Why aren't you helping the breeders to stop breeding so many horses and breed more for quality? And why aren't you helping horse owners like little old Rescue Girl out here in PA is helping horse owners that need assistance instead of them sending their horses off? It goes back to getting your last couple $100. Try having humane euthanasia to give the horse a peaceful ending instead of punishing the only people in his state that are trying to help the horses. That just totally blew my mind. So that's why I wrote the story. And he still hasn't responded to me.
Well, of course, he probably doesn't have an answer.
Right.
No, he, according to the article, LB, which I'm not sure LB is, or 306, says the Humane Society and Equine and Shelter, our rescue operation, has to accept the horses on delivery. And I'm paraphrasing, he says that they are the root problem when they lobbied in 2006. Well, it seems to me like, again, from your website and others I found, it's not that the rescue services are the problem. It's places like, for example, Permian Farms, for example, as which Permian is a hormone replacement therapy drug. And it's for menopausal women, et cetera, and it's derived from horse urine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of farms that put horses, they're pregnant mares, I believe, mm-hmm. in very small stalls and with devices hooked up to basically collect their urine.
Mm-hmm.
And after, what was it, 2006, that the concern came up about cancer. And so the farms reduced their size in half, which left a lot of the foals and other horses kind of in an interesting predicament and was costing the farms money, and so they had to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So,
you know, there's so many different ways of horses being born, horses coming about, and horses being abandoned and whatever. Have you ever thought about how your business, I guess it would be, can grow? I mean, taking a look at how Jerry's Kids, you've got 40,000 people across the country that are interested enough to at least sign up. Perhaps you could enlist their help in having fundraisers and parties or whatever, and sending the money on to you. You could. I'm granted it would cost a little bit of money to put that program together, because you have to have somebody help, let's put it that way, and oversee what's going on. But you'd make so much more money than it would cost. It seems to be like it'd be a way to go. But it would be increasing your purview a lot in order to do that. Have you ever considered it?
No, actually, I haven't. I've got people that contact us from different areas of the country that want to hold fundraisers for us. We had we were contacted and had a couple of fundraisers out in the L.A., the Hollywood area in November. And there's different people around the country that are doing small things for us. That's pretty much all we've ever done. We have not gone out actively and said, hey, can you fundraise for us? If people want to do it, we'd love for them to do it for us, but we haven't ever actually gone out and said, hey, we have a fabulous girl named Fran who does our fundraising and gets the word out there about us, and that would be her realm of expertise. I'll actually mention that to her later.
What about your people who helped you build or help you design the billboard?
Those guys, they're full of fabulous ideas as well. You know, I don't know. I mean, the biggest thing when you do, like I said, is get the word out. But as
well,
for anything doing...
Then that was what I was just going to say. I mean, it seems to me like you have 40,000 or 42,000 or whatever it is now members. You've got a whale of a mailing list. You could just simply put together a little pamphlet saying you could do this to help us out and just send it out to everybody. It doesn't need, just needs to be a little hint, because a lot of people may be willing to do something but haven't even thought about it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. No, I haven't really done any of that. I mean, we do have the, you know, we interact with our friends and fans on Facebook, and we do have the Twitter and the cause and stuff like that. But rescuing, like, what I do is a day-to-day thing. I told somebody, actually I'm telling a lot of people now, I have a love-hate relationship with my iPhone because I can see my emails before I'm even out of bed and had coffee. And I probably shouldn't email anyone before I've had coffee, but I'm able to work. You know, I'm able to work before I get out of bed, and then I do all the stuff I have to do here. So I don't know if I could actually take on another thing. And we thought long and hard. I took some flack from some people for the billboard campaign, but we thought long and hard before we did it because we wanted the biggest bang for our buck. And I have to say we've been very lucky because Clear Channel Outdoor, Lamar Advertising, and now CBS Outdoor has donated the spaces to us to have these billboards go up in different areas of the country. So
how many have you got up?
We have two up, one in Baltimore County, one in Baltimore City, and we have ones going up in Augusta, Georgia, Aiken, North Carolina, Philadelphia, PA, and we're working on Kentucky right now. And they've donated the spaces to us, which are thousands and thousands. We had no idea how much the space was. So we are just having to pay for the printing, shipping, and installation, which is dramatically less, but it's still a cost. So,
well, right now you're doing it at the right time because I see an awful lot of empty billboards. And if they could just fill those with your slaughterous,
wouldn't that be awesome?
Billboard. That would be fantastic. The only thing of that, again, is I always look at the other end of it, too. You're out there promoting getting more horses. You got to pay for them. So you need to have somebody just as well. You need to get a hold of some organization or some group or somebody that you can designate and the job to so that you don't have to do it because you can't do everything. But,
right.
But getting somebody out there to work on the idea of having the help monetarily, not just individuals, but as I say, people are willing to do all kinds of things as fundraisers. You know, these are adults necessarily, basically. So one of the problems we did a real good thing. I've worked extensively with muscular dystrophy, and we did a real good thing with these 24-hour dances that they did in schools. But they had to stop that because our dearly beloved school systems and politically correct folks said, well, we can't keep these chillins up all night. How stupid is that? But anyway, but you can keep the adults up all night. You could have big dances and all kinds of things that could be done that would be huge fundraisers.
I mean, those are good ideas, you know. I just never, you know, with all the stuff I have going on, I haven't really had the time to explore that any. But, yeah, any ideas, if anybody wants to email me, that's awesome.
There you go. Then maybe there's somebody listening to us that would have an idea of how to do this and could even be a spearheader of the campaign to do the mailing. If you've got the mailing list and if they could come up with the ideas, all it is a matter of getting the two people together, the two groups together, let's put it that way, because I know there's an awful lot of poverty in the United States right now, but there's a lot of even with poverty, people can a dollar here, a dollar there, and if you get enough of those dollars, they add up.
Yeah, you're right. We have this was something I forgot to tell you. We had like somebody had sent us, as you were saying, you know, people with ideas had said, you know, how about the change? So our billboard campaign is actually Change for a Change, which is people are collecting their loose change and turning it in and sending it to us for our billboards. So that's it.
Great idea.
That's how we're raising funds for the billboards. Is literally like somebody had money in a pickle jar. Somebody else had one in a football thing. One lady said, I got so much change out of my sofa, I think it's 10 pounds lighter. I mean, just these funny things that they're sending with these checks. And I'm like, this is awesome. So we do have that. So people are just collecting their spare change to help us make a change in the lives of these horses, you know. And we're hoping, the eventual thing is we're hoping that at some point they won't need us anymore. And maybe I'll go back to a paying job, you know. But we'd love to see, to never have the need for a rescue again. And
well, didn't
you know,
I see something on, was it your website? I saw something on about sending in box tops or something like that.
Box tops. It was like feed labels. Like they're different.
Okay. Yeah.
Feed labels for different feed, like Legends and I can't even think off the top of my head. All the different feed labels from grain provided to horses, and it's on our website. It's an actual link that says, you know, do you feed this type of grain? And people cut them out and they send them to our rescue, and Fran again, poor Fran, will spend hours cutting these labels up. And what it does is it raises funds for our rescue. Each label's worth like 10 cents or 25 cents, and I believe it's like, you turn it in for an entire year, and it works that way. So that's another thing we have. So we do have a few different ways on the website that people can help us. And feed labels, if they have horses, is one of them. It's just a specific feed that's, I can't remember off the top of my head which feed it is, so.
Well, you should extend that to cereal boxes and things like that, because they give you money for schools. Maybe they could do it for horses, too.
Exactly.
Oh, that would be awesome. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, though.
Let me interject here real quick. Speaking of Fran, she did send us an email, and you pretty much answered most of her questions. I wanted to thank Fran for contributing. And by the way, we got 13 minutes left, 646-721-9887, and we have a caller on the line from area code 209. So as soon as the mic's open, welcome to the show.
Hi, Robin. This is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
I talked to you on the phone. I just wanted to call and tell Joe that I'm really thankful for the work that she's doing, and I really appreciate the effort she's made to reach across basically the state borders and bring this and the billboards to another area. I also wanted to say, Cliff, I did like your idea, too, about how the rest of us could have small fundraisers to help raise some money that would be best served in the hands of Joe taking care of these horses. I like that idea. I think I'm going to think about some way that I might be able to help out with that.
Well, I just can't stand to see Joe out there sitting around doing nothing. We need to get her busy.
Oh, I know she doesn't do that. I read her posts every day, and let me tell you, that's one busy woman.
Thanks, Juanita. Thanks so much for your call. That's awesome. Thanks for saying that.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to let you know you are very much appreciated.
Well, thank you. I think so good. Thank you.
We will be looking forward. I was just going to say, we will be looking forward to thousands and thousands of dollars that you'll be sending in from your fundraiser.
Well, you know, I talked to Joe about this before. I am a truck driver. I'm a long-haul truck driver, and I'm still waiting for that banner for my truck.
Yes, I have to get you that banner for your truck. Shoot, I just talked to David earlier today. I will contact him again. I must have gotten swamped and forgot to ask him about it. But, yeah, I got the sizes you sent me, so I think that's pretty awesome, you know. And maybe we could get more than maybe one truck. How many people do you know?
I know quite a few, and many of them do have horses, and many of them are very sympathetic to the cause and are willing to help out.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I'll check with David when later on today when we're done, and then get back with you and let you know that, you know, where it is and if they've ordered it yet.
That's awesome. And I really like that other suggestion, too, about the bumper stickers or the static stickers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great idea as well.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh, and if I can throw something in there, there's a website called Cafe Press. where you can have T-shirts, bumper stickers, a whole bunch of other stuff, put together at very low cost, where you can put your artwork on, and that'd be a way, too, to, like you say, static ads to kind of get it out.
Okay,
well, I'm going to turn you guys back over to the rest of the public so I can concentrate on the road here. I just wanted to let Joe know that we really appreciate her. And thank you so much, Robin and Cliff, for giving us this time on the show.
Well, thank you.
You're very
welcome. Thanks, Monica.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye
now.
This is all a great idea. We keep coming up with all these great ideas, and I think rolling billboards or rolling banners all over the country is a fabulous idea. But this is all bringing you more horses. We've got to get you more money.
Well, I'm hoping that the horses that we get, you know, we'll be able to, you know, rehome them and get them help. That's the main thing. Is I don't want to bring them so much to me. I want to raise awareness that people need to be more responsible in their breeding and their horse ownership, and we want to remove the horses from the slaughter pipeline, because if we can prevent them from ever going in the slaughter pipeline, that'll be less horses that are going to be slaughtered. So they may not...
Maybe one of the things you need to do is start promoting the fact that all these horses are full of drugs, and maybe we can slow down that slaughter pipeline, because if I think the rest of these countries knew what they're eating, maybe they'd be a little less prepared to eat it all.
Well, and I think also throwing in the fact that some of these horses, if I understand correctly, are very young.
Yes.
Young, healthy.
Mm-hmm. And yep. Some
young,
some
healthy,
are
and
young
full of drugs.
Too. Yeah, well, unfortunately, yeah. Yeah, the ones that are like 2-3 years old, they are full of drugs. I mean, not every horse. I mean, every horse. I don't want to say every horse, but the large majority of them are, even as young as they are.
Well, yeah, because that's where they start them out with all those drugs. It's you make them healthy, wealthy, and strong or something.
Yeah.
I mean, are these horses, the majority of them, race horses?
There are all kinds of horses, from thoroughbreds, quarter horses, standardbred, saddlebreds, ponies, Morgans, anything, any equine, I mean, even donkeys, burros, mules, any kind of equine can be slaughtered. And I don't know, I don't want to say the percentages off the top of my head, because I don't have the website with the numbers in front of me, but a lot of them are, you know, healthy, young and sound horses. I don't know what they've been doing in their prior lives, but you know, all of them, there's a big misconception that horses that are going off to slaughter are sick, old, crippled, which then you would even think, okay, if you've lived your whole life, you're old, sick, and crippled, wouldn't you deserve a humane ending? But there's this big misconception that they're, quote, going to the glue factory, and that's not true. It's healthy horses, not just older ones that are going to be slaughtered.
Yeah, it says here that most of the animals, which could, on average, live to be more than 30 years old, are actually killed before their fifth birthday.
I don't know what website that's on, but I think that's right.
Oh, I get information from a dozen websites, and I didn't write all down.
I've read that as well. And again, like I say, it's another, oh, my God, you've got to be kidding me that, you know, like I say, these horses are young. They're still useful. And
but again, I really would like you to consider writing some sort of a thing about how to take care of the horse once you get them. What kind of follow-up do you have if you adopt a horse out to see that it's being taken care of?
Well, when we adopt out our horses, they all, of course, go with the contract. We actually follow up with them every couple of months. They're required with the contract to send us pictures and updates at least yearly, but I had to go buy an external hard drive for all the photos from people that have our horses. So we really... Yeah, we really know the people that adopt our horses. We screen them as well as possible. Just this past year, because of the economy, we ended up rehoming eight of our own horses, plus each of their companion horses. That, in other words, they adopted a horse from us, and then they had a second horse due to financial death and divorce cases from 2005, a horse that I adopted out in 2005. We got calls about in early 2010 because we needed to help the families rehome them because of just horrific situations that some of the families had. So that's what we did. So what we do is we always stay in a loop. We always check up on our horses as much as we possibly can. So we stay in and they contact us, and we, if they do resell one of our horses or they rehome the horse, We have to be involved in that contract so that they know, not so much that we want to tell them what to do, because we believe if you're capable of taking care of the horse, you're capable of owning the horse, just so that if something happens, you can call us and say, hey, I can't keep my horse anymore. You know, the horse came from Angel Acres. What am I going to do? And we're going to say, okay, we're either going to send a truck or we're going to rehome the horse. And we go from there. So we really do stay in as much contact without being a stalker as we can for our adoptions.
And there's an idea.
Yeah,
Dell Computer, if you're listening, or Hewlett Packard Computer, if you're listening, you need to donate a computer to Angel Acres, P.O. Box 62, Glenville, Pennsylvania, 17329.
And
either one or both.
5 minutes left in the show, 646-721-9887. I wanted to also, we have some conversations going in the chat room, a couple I wanted to relay. Barbara Walsh says, Joe, you rock.
Absolutely.
And
yay, thank you.
Rescue says to tell Joe that we're very proud of her and her efforts. So I wanted to pass that on to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. I can't be in the chat room because I'll, like, zone and I won't be able to talk to you. You'll be like, where'd she go? So.
I don't know how Robin does this. She sits there and looks and reads and all that stuff. If I were to open that chat room and look at it, I would never be able to say a word in the air.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I have this one-track mind.
Anyway, if you have a questions for Joe, we got 4 minutes left, 646-721-9887. It's still time to get your calls in. And we are going to put on our website a link to your website. Joe, do you want to give out that website real quick?
Yeah, we have the website for the billboard is a specific site, and that's what we're calling the companion to the billboard site because it was too much information to be on just one. So that is stopslaughteringus.com or .org. And our main website for Angel Acres is saveahorsenow.com or .org.
Okay. And how would people get in touch with you?
They can reach us by email or the contact us form on the site, or they can give us a call at 717-965-7901.
Okay. And could you give that number one more time, please?
Yep. It's 717-965-7901, and there's contact us forms right from the website, or they can email me. It's angelacreshorsehaven@yahoo.com.
And by the way,
I try and get back promptly.
If you put in Angel Acres in Google, it goes right to it. You can't.
Yeah, we're the number one hit for that. Yep.
Not hard to find them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you can do anything.
So there's no excuse. Find them.
Right. They could get Angel Acres. They can find us. Yep. So.
Yeah. So if there's anything you can do to help out, we'd definitely appreciate it. And pass the word around, too. Let people, you know, until I talked to Joe, like I said earlier in the show, I was totally unaware of what's happening. And I think more people need to be aware of this and to help out, actually.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I really appreciate you having me on the show and letting me talk a little bit about the horses and horse slaughter and stuff. And your reaction is what I hear every day. And I know, and one thing I wanted to say is I know the billboards are working because I'm getting emails at least one or two a day saying, oh my gosh, I saw your billboard. I had no idea that they're slaughtering horses. What can we do to help? And then we send them to the site and, you know, let them know how they can help and volunteer. If they're not in their area, they can volunteer somewhere else. But really, I strongly believe that if everybody sort of has your reaction, which is like, oh my gosh, then maybe it'll change. And, you know, maybe in 5 years or maybe a lot less, they won't be sending them out of the country to be slaughtered.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great to have billboards on the sides of 20,000 trucks?
Oh, God, wouldn't that be? I thought about that. I was like, you know, that would look really good there. But those trucks are like 53 feet, and oddly enough, our biggest billboard's 48 feet, so there is room.
That's close enough.
By the way, CV Rescue says to tell you that we applaud how she takes the high road when being attacked by the pro-slaughter people and other rescues.
Oh.
Add on to.
Thank you. That's awesome. I try. I really try. I do a lot of deep breathing.
Well, I hate to make you think that you need to work harder, but you do such a good job. We need to get you diluted a little more. So, I mean.
And I'd like to invite you to come back on the show again sometime.
Oh, well.
Sure. And give us an update on how things are going.
Absolutely. I'd love to come back.
Good. Because there's just so many things that can be done with this. And it's so unnecessary to have this problem. But I still worry about a lot of people who would like to have a horse but don't understand the cost and the work of taking care of one.
Yes, that's a big issue, too. We have We have
some people.
So
write your book.
Yeah, yeah. Some people think that they could just, you know, I'm going to put it in the backyard. I'm like, no. Do you have a vet? No, we'll get a vet. I'm like, no, you have to have all these things lined up. So a lot of it's education. And I'm getting ready to, I'm working on a blog that's going to be hosted shortly just about how to help with horses, you know, how to take care of them and that sort of stuff. I'm
good.
Working with a few people. So I'll send you guys the link once it's up.
Really?
All right. Well, we're out of time. Again, thank you, Joe, for joining us. And we hope that this helped. And if you have any questions, go ahead and send an email to us or send it to Joe. We'll have the contact information on our website. And again, thanks to people in the chat room and our callers.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye, everybody.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.